The final type of share option we shall look at in this series of modules are Enterprise Management Incentives, or EMIs. EMIs are very similar in the way that they operate to company share option plans, in that they enable the employer to reward selected employees with tax-favoured share options. The key difference between the two is that EMI options are incentive arrangements which enable small trading companies to attract and retain their staff. Normal company share option plans are typically aimed at larger companies, many of which are quoted on the stock exchange. An EMI is very simple to operate because no advance approval is required from the revenue. All other approved share schemes require the documentation to be sent to the revenue before the scheme can be operated. Instead, under an EMI, the company will enter into an option agreement with each individual employee. The company will notify the details of the option agreement to the revenue within 92 days. HMRC thereafter has the right to raise any queries about the scheme within 12 months. EMI schemes are popular with small companies. As we shall see later, EMIs are more flexible than normal company share option plans, and the rewards available to employees are potentially much greater. Later statistics indicate that over 2,500 companies granted EMI options in 2008-09. We shall now look at how an EMI scheme actually works. In essence, an EMI scheme is similar to a company share option plan, in that the company will grant options to an employee. The share options give the employee the right to buy shares within a specified period at a fixed price. Under an EMI scheme, the options must be exercisable within 10 years of grant. Within 10 years, the employee will exercise his options and will buy shares in his employer company at their agreed option price. In most instances, there will be no tax on the exercise of the option. We can draw similarities here with the company share option plan. The only tax to be charged on the employee will be capital gains tax when the employee eventually sells his shares. A company may only grant options under an EMI scheme if it complies with certain conditions. Essentially, EMI companies are small trading companies. The qualifying conditions for an EMI company are very similar to those used for enterprise investment scheme purposes. The company must be a trading company. The company must carry on a qualifying trade, and all trades will qualify unless they are strictly prohibited or excluded. As we saw in the session on the enterprise investment scheme, financial, legal, farming, property development, and certain other trades are specifically excluded. The total gross assets of the company cannot exceed £30 million. An EMI company will generally be an unquoted company, although certain small quoted companies could offer EMI options to their employees if they are small enough to qualify. The total value of shares over which EMI options are held cannot exceed £3 million. The company must have less than 250 full-time employees. Finally, the company must not be controlled by another company. This essentially means that the company cannot be a subsidiary of a parent company. There are also certain qualifying conditions attaching to the employees and to the shares. An EMI scheme is not an all-employee scheme. The company can invite selected full-time employees to participate in the scheme. By full-time here, we mean the employee must devote at least 25 hours a week to the company. Employees with a material interest in the company cannot participate in the scheme. For EMI purposes, a director or employee will have a material interest if he controls more than 30% of the share capital of the company. The maximum value of shares valued at the date of grant over which an employee holds options cannot exceed £120,000. As you can see, this is far more generous than the maximum ceiling of £30,000 used in company share option plans. However, the £120,000 limit applies to the value of shares over which options are held under both EMIs and company share option plans. Therefore, if the employee already holds unexercised options over shares valued at grant of £30,000 under a company share option plan, he can only be granted options over shares worth £90,000 under an EMI. EMI options must be exercisable only within 10 years from the date of the grant. So the window of time in which an employee can exercise his EMI options runs from the date of grant to 10 years thereafter. There is nothing in the scheme rules to prevent an employee from exercising options in the first 3 years. Finally, some tax advantages are lost if the company grant options at a discount. As we shall see later, if an employee has the right to buy shares for less than their market value at the date of grant, there will be an income tax charge when the options are exercised. Let us now consider tax implications on the grant and exercise of options under an EMI scheme. Assuming there was no discount on the shares at the date of grant, i.e. if the option price is the same as the market value of the shares at the date the option was granted, there will be no tax when the options are exercised. If, however, a discount is offered to the employee at the date of grant, i.e. the price at which the employee can purchase the shares is less than their current market value, there will be an income tax charge on the exercise of the options. We shall have a look at how this works on the next page. In all instances, there will be a capital gains tax liability on the employee on the ultimate disposal of the shares. Let us now consider income tax charges on the exercise of EMI options. A charge to income tax will only be levied on exercise if the options were originally granted at a discount. This means that the market value of the shares at the date of grant of the option exceeded the employee's option price. The way in which we calculate the income tax charge at the date of the exercise is slightly different under EMI schemes as it is under company share option plans. Under EMI schemes, our starting point is the lower of two numbers. We compare the market value of the shares at the date of grant, here we have called this A, with the market value of the shares at the date of exercise, this we have called B. In the majority of instances, the market value of the shares at the date of grant will be lower than the value of the shares at the date the employee exercises the options. As such, we will probably take the figure at A rather than the figure at B. There could obviously be exceptions to this if the share price goes down. From this, we deduct the option price, i.e. the amount actually paid by the employee for his shares. The resulting figure is the income tax charge on the exercise of the option. Tax and NIC under PAYE needs to be applied at this point only if the shares are readily convertible assets. This is unlikely to be the case for EMI companies. Let us illustrate this by way of an example. Let us assume that a company, here we have called it EMI Limited, grants options to an employee in December 2001. The options give Mr. Employee the right to buy 40,000 shares at £2.50 each. We are also told that the market value of the shares at the date the option is granted is also £2.50. As such, there is no discount. We are also told that Mr. Employee can exercise his options until December 2011, i.e. within 10 years of grant. Under an EMI, there will never be a tax charge at the date the options are granted. Assume that Mr. Employee exercises his options and duly purchases the shares in July 2010. The market value of the shares at this point is £4.50. As with approved company share option plans, there is no tax on the exercise of the option. There will only be a tax on exercise if the options were issued at a discount in the first place. This is not the case here. The only tax in this scenario will be capital gains tax when Mr. Employee sells his shares. Let us now do a similar example, but changing the numbers very slightly. Again, we have an EMI company granting options in December 2000 to an employee. This time, the employee has a right to buy 40,000 shares for £2 each. The market value of the shares at the date of the option is £2.50. As you can see, The company is granting an option to an employee at a discount of 50p per share. Again, the options are exercisable only until December 2010. Even though the options are granted at a discount, there will never be a tax on the grant of an option under an EMI scheme. The only time an income tax charge will arise is on the exercise of the option. Assume that Mr. Employee exercises his options in July 2010 and duly purchases 40,000 shares at £2 each. The market value of the shares at this point is £4.50. Because the options were originally granted at a discount, there will be tax on the exercise of the option. If you recall, the tax charge will be based on the market value of the shares at the date of grant, or the market value of the shares at the date of exercise, whichever is the lower. In this case, the value of the shares at the date of grant is lower, so we use the figure of £2.50. The tax charge will therefore be the 40,000 options multiplied by the difference between the market value at the date of grant, i.e. £2.50, and the purchase price of £2. The income tax charge in this instance will therefore be 40,000 multiplied by 50p per share, giving us £20,000. There will also be a capital gains tax charge when Mr. Employee eventually sells the shares. We now need to consider capital gains tax on the sale of the shares. The gain is the difference between sales proceeds and CGT base cost.
The CGT base cost is the amount actually paid for the shares plus any amount charged to income tax on exercise.
If there is no income tax charge at exercise, the CGT base cost will simply be the purchase price of the shares.
In cases where the charge on exercise is based on the market value at grant, i.e. where the share price has increased in value between grant and exercise, the CGT base cost will effectively be the market value at grant. Let's continue with the example of Mr. Employee. Mr. Employee exercised options under an EMI scheme in July 2010.
The base cost is the amount paid for the shares, £80,000, plus the amount charged to income tax on exercise. As the options were granted at a discount, £20,000 was charged to income tax on exercise, to give a base cost of £100,000. This will be used to calculate Mr. Employee's capital gain. Mr. Employee sold his shares immediately for £4.50 per share. Sale proceeds are therefore £180,000. The base cost is £100,000, giving a capital gain of £80,000. There is just one practice question in this session for you to attempt. Once you are happy with your answer, check it by clicking the button at the bottom of your screen. We need to calculate Mark's income tax charge on the exercise of the EMI option. Note, there is never an income tax charge at the date the options are granted. Our starting point is the lower of two figures. The first is the market value of the shares at the date the options were granted, which we are told was £4.50. We compare this with the market value of the shares at the date of exercise, which we are told is £4.25. Unusually, the lower of these two numbers is the market value of the shares at the date of exercise, being £4.25. As you will see, the share price has gone down slightly between the grant of the option in January 2002 and the exercise of the option in March 2010. We multiply this £4.25 by the 15,000 options exercised to give us £63,750. From this, we deduct the purchase price of the shares. This is £15,000 multiplied by the option price, which we are told in the question was £3.50. Mark had a right to buy these shares for £3.50, which he duly did, paying the company £52,500 for his shares. The amount which counts as employment income on the exercise of the options will therefore be £11,250. This concludes this module on enterprise management incentives, and also concludes our series of six lectures on share schemes.